Welcome to Eliminating Barriers Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce you the amazing Ms. Anne Radelfs. Anne, why don't you take it from here?
Well, thinking about the theme for this virtual summit, Eliminating Barriers, brought me back in time to my education in developmental psychology. During my schooling as a medical doctor and psychiatrist, I learned that newborn babies, fresh from the womb, know no barriers. For 9 months, they and mom share the same body. But after birth, suddenly everything has changed. At first, they know nothing of our world and the rules of our world. Fortunately, most people know about the conditions of physical babies and are quite gracious when these babies grow to stick their hands on everyone and everything. And the same goes for spitting up on other people's clothes and making dirty diapers that someone else must clean up. As toddlerhood sets in and these young humans start moving around, caregivers start asserting boundaries. And those brief moments, those brief months of no set boundaries or barriers come to an end, never to be known again. I find most people are surprised when I assert that a seeking no restrictions baby still exists inside of us. Yes, physically we grow to adulthood and we grow to imitate the adult performance, but that baby so often remains in the shadows of our psyches, our souls, doing what babies do. You don't believe me? Well, let me open up a child development book I have here that I purchased recently at a yard sale. It's called Johnson's Your Baby from Birth to 6 Months by Katie Holland. And this book says, quote, your baby naturally develops at a quite incredible pace, but at the same time, every achievement that he makes, every new milestone that he passes is intricately bound up with all you do to make sure he is happy, secure, and loved. Unquote. The same is true of our inner babies and ourselves in general. We are capable of growing at a very rapid rate. But for this to happen, our needs must be met. Not just physical needs, but emotional needs, mental needs, and spiritual needs. When we don't meet these essential for psychological maturation, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs, our inner infants adapt to the deprivation. And being grievously deprived feels comfortable. I'm remembering one mother who carried her son wrapped up in a blanket to the emergency room of a hospital where I was working. And she said, my baby is very sick. Sure enough, he had a fever and an infection of some sort. I don't remember the details, but I do remember what caught the attention of us doctors, something we had not seen before. This boy was 4 years old. Yet the mom carried him around in a blanket and spoke to him as if he was a tiny infant. Although I'd never seen that done literally by anyone before, nor have I seen it since, metaphorically, it's actually very common. And by this, I mean that so many people coddle those they're close to. They wrap them in a feel-good blanket of praise and other ego strokes, and delight in their presence and accomplishments. They give them that tender, loving environment that's suitable for little babies, but they don't give them the more mature, at times confrontational conversation that would have them taking steps beyond psychological infancy. How I know about the prevalence of this sort of treatment is the prevalence of people who are largely living from the infant part of themselves. According to this book I'm reading about the youngest humans, the baby needs, quote, acknowledgement, love, and encouragement from the people around him in order to reach his full potential. So by doing what comes naturally, cuddling him, talking to him, going to him when he cries, and interacting with him, you are giving him a sense of security and confidence that allows him to blossom. Unquote. You know, I've heard a lot of people over the years suggest this is the best way to interact in adult relationships. I've heard many people say, acknowledge your husband's strengths and love him just as he is. I've also heard many times, go to your wife when she's upset and give her a hug. So clearly, many people are relating to their spouses as we are directed to relate to babies. This says something, doesn't it? I'm not saying these behaviors are wrong, but incomplete. If we're to grow to adulthood, which includes embracing the whole of ourselves, we need a lot more than hugs and kisses in our relationship dynamics. Well, let's see what else this book says about infants. Quote, by your baby's fourth month birthday, you will probably have established a daily routine for him, revolving around feeding, napping, going for a walk in the park or to stores, bathing, and going to sleep at night. A routine will help you both feel secure and confident and will provide the foundations of your life together as a family. Unquote. So let's talk about routines for a moment. If you add work to the book, excerpt I just read, and exchange napping for surfing the internet, this description sounds like some of the people I know. And I realize this is an exaggeration, but the point I'm making is that the baby doesn't do much, and neither do a lot of seeming adults. They have their fixed routine, and they get upset when something happens to disturb that routine, just as an infant would. So back to my book about the human baby. Quote, he can communicate by crying and by his behavior. This is the only way of telling you how he's feeling. He will cry to let you know he's hungry, uncomfortable, or lonely. Unquote. Don't we all know people that have only two emotional states? He's either calm or shouting in anger. She's either happy or depressed. People who are emotionally mature have a full range of emotions. Lonely, angry, happy, sad, fearful, guilty, shameful, jealous, and so on. And they have a full range of creative ways of expressing these emotions. When we're coming from the infant part of us, we're very limited in our emotional awareness and our expression of this awareness. And we don't understand your frustration at our limitations. Remember, infants have the biological expectation for you to be sweet and loving and clean up all their messes, no matter what they do. So don't be surprised when you're upset about their behavior. Upsets them. Babyhood is when we learn about the gentle and easy side of life. Everything coming our way with no effort required on our part. People care for our every need if we have healthy parents. We merely make a sound and someone comes to see what he or she can do for us. Change a diaper, add a sweater, or do something else to make us more comfortable. Notice these are physical comforts. One way we know the baby inside us is alive and well is by how we focus on the physical in order to address our own and other people's discomfort. As we grow, the emotional, mental, and spiritual grow in importance. But when we're little, we're really fascinated by our own fingers and toes, and of course, other people's faces, which we may poke our fingers and toes into, not understanding that this is not a socially acceptable thing to do. Where I live, I find most people stop at physical causes when they're sick. They look at me strangely when I mention the emotional and mental causes of illness. Like, what's that got to do with anything? the infant inside us, like the babies outside, don't understand what is beyond what their five senses are showing them, if that. They also don't look beyond the physical for cures. If the symptoms have gone away with their physical treatments, then the problem has been solved. It's that simple. When the symptoms come back, it's like the game of peekaboo. They are ever so surprised. Back to the book. Quote, a game of hide the teddy with your five-month-old helps him grasp complex concepts, such as the fact that objects exist even when he cannot see them. Unquote. Yes, we know a young infant is alive and well within most of us when a government can censor the media such that it never mentions the most serious problems going on, and most people then believe these problems don't exist. People have often told me, if what you're saying is true, it would be on the news. Yes, news programs can hide teddy bears and other items just as easily as mom and dad can. This baby book I'm reading mentions the normal reflexes in every infant. The psychological infant inside is similar. Let's look at a couple of these normal reflexes, starting with the grasp reflex. If you put something in the physical baby's hand, he holds onto it and doesn't let it go. If we share a brilliant idea with a psychological baby, he will hold on to it as if it is his own, and there will be no indication that it first belonged to someone else, nor will there be any reassignment of credit. If it's in their hand, it's theirs and always has been. The walking or stepping reflex is another normal reflex in the physical infant. If you brush the top of the baby's foot against the lower edge of the table, the baby will lift up her foot as if to begin walking. The psychological infant does something similar. She creates an appearance of movement or steps with her words. For example, if you mention that you've been in therapy for several months and are digging into some deep stuff inside that's been holding you back, the psychological baby says, "Yes, I've done that too." She hasn't, of course. But babies tend to imitate those in their environments, and they don't understand why their imitations are not perceived to be the real thing. As physical infants like to reach and grab, so do psychological infants. If they see you have a lot of money, they will try to reach and grab for it. The same is true of anything that's particularly big, shiny, colorful, or otherwise attractive. Whether or not you need what they take doesn't enter their heads. Remember, infants have no sense of boundary or barrier. So whatever blocks or resistance you may put up, such as saying no, expect them to continue what they're doing, unthwarted. The fact that the infant within is running so many people's lives can make all of these traits of infancy seem normal, while the behavior of mature adults may seem strange or suspicious in comparison. So let's take a moment to look at some differences. Adults are busy caring for those of all ages, giving them what they need to grow in the form that will maximize this growth. In comparison, psychological babies can only say they are doing everything right and then get fussy when you disagree. Adults are busy maturing people not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. In contrast, babies focus on the physical and imagine that this is all there is, or at least that's what's most important. Really, if anything were important, they would know how to manage it. But since they can't, it must not be important. This brings us to the topic of infant relationships, or the ways infant males and females relate to one another. Males that are stuck in psychological infancy have grown accustomed to soft, sweet, and otherwise flattering voices that tell them how wonderful they are. The fact that they lie, cheat, and steal is besides the point. They are offended when a female's emotions move her to speak in a manner that is not sweet and kind. These babies view emotions as irrelevant, or perhaps a genetic defect present in inferior females. Those things that proceed from the heart, such as exquisite visual art, dance, poetry, or music, are also unnecessary in their way of thinking. However, it is the heart that so often lets us know when something is wrong or someone is hurting. These male babies can be the last to know what's going on because they're relying only on their own five senses to tell them. In regard to any accusations, these five senses always let them know they are entirely innocent. As male psychological babies inappropriately put down whatever they don't understand or who threatens them, female psychological babies tend to falsely elevate. They delight in the fanciful stories told by someone psychologically stuck in infancy. They believe each young one's words, even when his actions don't align with them. They ever support the psychologically young male, insisting he's just fine as he is. Anyone who's capable of seeing his potential and meeting his developmental needs is seen as a meddler who's trying to fix him according to some malevolent agenda. Whether male or female, both infants in us cling to a fixed imaginary character, whether in themselves or another. Liken it to a baby who clings to a doll and cries when someone tries to take the doll away. This is normal for a baby, of course, and similarly normal for one stuck in psychological infancy. Let's contrast the fanciful perceptions of our inner infants with the psychologically mature person who clearly discerns the healthy, whole soul or child of God in each person and loves this, not ego characters. This mature adult in us helps others to see who they truly are, feed who they truly are, and embrace this as their identity. Nurturing this true self always brings us to the opposite, the needy, grasping, boundaryless baby that still exists inside each of us individuals that cannot help but do what all psychological babies do. In the process of growing up, most of us have erected barriers to these most vulnerable, biologically programmed and environmentally conditioned baby parts of ourselves. We've erected barriers to many other aspects of ourselves too. As a result, we grow to maturity physically, but not psychologically. Psychological maturity is about embracing our wholeness, every part of ourselves, whether young or old, masculine or feminine. We can then employ every aspect of ourselves in a manner that develops every aspect of everyone else. Psychological growth includes removing any rigid barriers we may have had or we still have and embracing the lost parts of ourselves. Growing up also involves eliminating the protective barriers that have shielded our infant selves from the horrors of the world, some of which have touched our own lives. Even if we started life surrounded by sweetness and tenderness, the cold, cruel aspects of our world do intersect most people's lives now and then. And sometimes that cruelty shows up in maintaining that overt sweetness and tenderness when our growth requires something else. A healthy upbringing draws us slowly into the reality of our, at times, horrifically corrupt world and gives us the tools and guidance we need to face this reality and negotiate it successfully. As much as we might feel warm and cozy wrapped in a soft, fuzzy blanket, our world demands fully functioning, mature human beings. If we are resisting this maturational process, the demands of our world will likely increase to force this growth. Will we allow the infant part of us to respond to these demands by closing our eyes and turning our heads? Or will we be willing to remove the many barriers inside ourselves in order to respond with the fullness of our humanity? So this is what I do for a living, help people to remove their inner infants from the leadership position and usher their healthy souls into their rightful place. If you'd like to get a sense of what this is, please contact me for a free 20-minute soul listening session. I also have several books on my website about healing the soul. The Awakening Storm is about my evacuation from my home in New Orleans to escape Hurricane Katrina, but it's also about how we all evacuate from aspects of our humanity when we're young to escape traumatic experience. This book is for professionals in the field of mental health or anyone who has had some experience with self-help and soul development. Illness Can Be the Cure is for those suffering from an illness. It's a workbook that teaches readers how to hear their souls communicating through their symptoms and disease processes. With Every Addiction, Infants Are Trying to Meet Their Needs is also a workbook. Readers learn to hear the inner infant crying for help in each painful dependency and to respond with their most mature humanity. I have a lot of videos and other educational material on my website, which is anthegrower.com. My name is A-N-N-E, anthegrower.com. Remember, quoting again from the Johnson's Baby book, the baby needs, quote, acknowledgement, love, and encouragement from the people around him in order to reach his full potential, unquote. And so do we all. I hope you will take a step toward your full potential by sending me an email at annthelistener@yahoo.com.